I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network.
Well, this is exciting. What episode number are we at, Logan?
This will be episode 106.
Wow. How fun.
106.
So thanks. Yeah.
I used to watch a TV show in high school. It was around the era of MTV, TRL music videos. The show was called 106 in Park, and it was nothing but music videos. So that's a good number. That's a good episode number. So
back when MTV was literally just music videos.
Just music videos.
Oh, I miss those days. Not to say I don't appreciate really, really bad reality television that is often found on MTV, but I do miss the days where it was just...
Yeah,
where it was actual music television.
Yes,
music television.
Can you play some cool music in the background of this episode that, like, from that time, Logan?
I don't. Not with copyrights.
Oh man, we have a lot of high priority, high end listeners. So,
Well, all it takes is one, and then it's a $50,000 fine for every infraction. So
yeah, we can't afford that. We're not making a lot of money on this podcast. So yeah,
we're not really making any money.
No, we're making $0. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We're
Thank
so excited.
You, for me.
You should go ahead and introduce yourself however you would like to our listeners.
So my name is Dee Goins. I am the director of Residence Life Housing and Conference Services at the University of North Texas at Dallas, a WWE enthusiast. I like to play with my dog, play some video games, hang out with my wife. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I actually, when I learned that this was Skype, I thought it was going to be video. So I'm in my man cave as Cowboys decked out. So maybe that could be an endorsement deal there. I'm originally from Missouri. I moved to California for some years, and now I live in Dallas.
Wow.
Jackie's a big Bills fan.
I was going to say, I appreciate you being in a Dallas man cave, but I don't know if I can appreciate that you're a Dallas fan as a Bills fan. I mean, granted, you're not a Patriots fan, so I'm okay. Like, we're good.
Not at all.
We're cool.
Not at all.
And I'm from Nashville. We have an NFL team. They don't usually win much.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while for the Titans, but there is hope. Anything is possible.
Oh, we've got a new coach, so maybe.
There you go.
There it is. That's what Bills fans say, though, so be careful. Were you a Dallas fan before you moved to Dallas, or have you been, like, engulfed in the culture?
No, I was before I got here.
Nice.
And I think it's because my dad was a Cowboys fan, so... When this opportunity presented itself to relocate here, that was like a little bit of icing on the cake, because in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, we can go to some games. But then out of nowhere, the Cowboys got good and the ticket prices skyrocketed. So
yep.
I haven't been able to get to a game yet.
Oh, like, bummer. Okay.
I'm like, when is the team going to have a bad season? So tickets are a little cheaper, but I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well, what you got to do, and I don't think we play Dallas this year, but what you do is you travel and you go watch them play not in Dallas, where
That's
it's
true.
Cheaper. And they,
That's
when
good
they
idea.
Play a lousy team. Because I always, like, whenever I go see a Bills game, it is not in Buffalo. It's where it's warm. So I'll go to, like, Miami and watch
good
that
idea.
Game.
Good
it is
idea.
It is a much more enjoyable experience when you're not wearing 1,000 layers and standing in 3 feet of snow to watch the Bills lose.
That's a good idea, though.
Yeah, I highly, highly recommend it. It's a great time.
I will have to do that.
So you're also a WWE fan. Is that the one, and I don't want to, like, get yelled at, is that the one that's not real?
Well, you know, it's just like I like to consider, like, any type of TV show. You know, we look at Game of Thrones and Harry Potter and all those things where it's, you know, it's entertainment. So, you know, it's real entertainment. I will say that, you know, I don't know if any, you know, kids are paying attention to this, or young children are paying attention to this, but, you know, it's an element of, you know, just don't really look at the hits, pay attention to the entertainment factor, you know right. what I mean? And so once you get past that, you know, you can stick with it. It's just, it's nostalgia right now, because a lot of the young guys are retiring, so it's good. I gotta give a shout out to the SA Click, the Student Affairs Click. It's a group of higher ed professionals who enjoy professional wrestling. We get together at conferences. There's a Facebook page called SA Click. We get the you know, you go to conferences and there's like the presenter sticky ribbons yeah. and the volunteer.
You we have got some
SA Click ribbons. Yeah, we are.
That's amazing.
We're meeting up in New Orleans this weekend for WrestleMania, actually. So I had to give a shout out to that group.
Oh my God, that's the coolest. That is the coolest, like, SA
anything, like, I've ever heard.
Insert hobby here group that I've ever seen yeah. ever.
So that's so amazing. Click, not as in like, oh, it's just our little click.
Right.
But the Click was an old wrestling group. And they're legends, and so it's K-L-I-Q.
Oh, good, because I would have searched like click yeah. or like C-L-I-Q-U-E. Yeah. We will definitely have to link to that in the show notes so that any student affairs, or I guess, is it limited to SA people, or can like other higher ed folks join?
Other higher ed folks can join, but you know it's a very inviting, so the more the merrier. So more folks are absolutely
that's so
invited.
Cool.
Because you need those avenues. You know, it's you can't go to a meeting always and talking about, oh, did you watch Monday Night Raw last night? And people are going to be like, what are you, 15?
But like, no, I just have really great taste in TV. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, and so, but it's a good support group. Always bouncing ideas off of each other.
Yeah.
In a language of like, and throwing in some wrestling innuendos every now and then too to make it make sense to folks, but it's a good supportive group, helpful, also different, I think, too, in higher ed, where you think like, oh, like it sounds silly, but it really is beneficial to relationships, the network, the knowledge of the members in the group. So grateful for that.
I'm just impressed in general. I mean, I live here in Nashville, so there's a WrestleMania that comes through every year or so, but
I'm sure there are many members in that area.
I have no doubt, because I am from Tennessee and various other places, and yep, wrestling's a thing.
Yeah,
or
it's
as
big,
they call
it's
it, wrestling.
Wrestling.
Is that really what they call it?
Yep, that's wrestling, what they call it. Yeah. Wrestling.
Wrestling.
So amazing.
You watching wrestling tonight? Yeah, wrestling. Watching wrestling tonight. Yeah.
Is there like, is WWE, does it come in like seasons, like how it's like football season or basketball season, or is it just kind of all the time?
WWE is all the time. They nice. Perform 300 nights a year. They have some type
wow.
of show. Yeah.
It's impressive.
That's super fun.
And it's been going since so many years. I mean, I remember
it's been
when,
for a long time.
When I was in high school, that was like the big heyday when The Rock and, you know, the
oh,
Four
man.
Horsemen and, you know, yeah. all that kind of stuff. See, I can talk a little bit of wrestling because I'm
like
from Pulaski, Rock. Tennessee. So there's that and NASCAR and Tennessee football. That's about it.
There you go. Like The Rock might have been getting fake hits, but he's getting real money now. So,
yeah, he's going to be president
true.
One day if you don't watch it. He's doing everything else.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Now he can't. Like, it's always a big question of, is The Rock coming back for WrestleMania? But a lot of reason why he doesn't is because he's involved in so many movies that they have insurance out on this guy where, like, you can't afford to get injured because that jeopardizes production of a movie.
Mm.
So he'll come back and maybe work the mic, say a few lines, but he won't have a match or anything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do they normally get hurt, like, a lot, like real life hurt?
Oh, yeah. Some injuries are definitely real, and they have to be written off for a while.
Wow.
But when they come back, it's a big deal. So
I mean, sometimes
is.
You don't actually get fake hit with a chair. You actually get hit with a chair.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And you could land wrong or get landed on wrong or hit your head the wrong way.
Get landed on wrong.
Yeah.
Because there's a right way to land on someone.
There's a right way
no,
to land.
There is.
If you're jumping off the top rope on somebody, You know what I'm saying? You got to be positioned. And if you're not, or if you're off, like, people have real, real injuries.
They are true mm-hmm. performance artists.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, a lot of choreography.
Yeah. There's I would love to watch like a rehearsal. Yeah. I think it'd be so cool. Man, we should do a sub podcast about WWE. That would be a blast.
That would be a lot of fun. You can have a roster lined up for months with members of this SA clique waiting to get on.
Oh, that'd be so fun. We'll have to get some of the guys or some of the folks that are in the SA clique.
Oh yeah.
On the podcast, we'll do a special WWE segment. That's
just
so cool.
A whole panel discussion, because there's nothing more higher ed than a panel discussion.
Yes. Several panel discussions and keynote speakers.
Several.
What I learned about leadership from WWE.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you have like ever thought about, you were saying in the group that there's a lot of like, you know, references to wrestling things, but also that are higher ed focused. Like, have you ever thought of maybe like, hey, that would be a really good presentation, like to talk about something like that?
I haven't, because to me it's like, okay, I know who will be there. I just need to go on the members of this group and I'll see these faces. I haven't thought about doing it, but I'm sure others have. But yeah, it's a great idea, because you know, a lot of that is on the social scene. It's a social group, so you may not know what this person, you may not have met the person, and but you know what they look like because you've seen them on social media. When you finally get in person, it's like, oh, this is you, and you feel so connected already.
Yeah.
So that could be an opportunity to get all tens on a presentation if people come that you know. So that's a great idea.
Well, you heard it here first that this presentation is going to happen. I can't wait to let us know when you make that presentation at the next conference.
Will do. Will do. That'll shout out.
Very cool.
Hey, it's Jackie. Thanks so much for listening to Higher Ed Social. We really appreciate it. I just wanted to take a minute to tell you about this really cool podcast player called Radio Public. And I know you probably already have your podcast player that you go to all the time, but take a listen to Radio Public because it's way different than any other podcast player out there. You can find it both in the Apple App Store as well as Google Play Store. And the thing that's so cool about Radio Public is that it actually starts to learn a little bit about you. You can organize your podcasts into playlists, or if you just want something new, you can head over to the app and pick up a different playlist. They have one called Lazy Sunday or Podcast Club. So whatever you're feeling, you're going to be able to find something. What I think is the best part about using the Radio Public app, though, is when you're looking for something new and you just want to ask your friends, what new podcast should I listen to? Radio Public's got your back. So you can ask the podcast librarians, yes, actual people, what new podcast should I listen to? And because they have done extensive research and listened to tons of podcasts, they're going to give you a great suggestion. So you can head over to radiopublic.com or download the app in both the Apple App Store and Google Play Store and just give it a shot. You know, you'll never know what you're going to find. All right, let's get back to the show.
So we're back. So other than obviously a lot of like wrestling programs that you've created for your students, like we like to ask folks like, what's up? What's going on campus? You're kind of in the middle of the semester, so the flow, people are kind of getting in their rhythm. It's almost the end of the semester, but not too close.
Yeah. What's up on our campus right now? We are, so we are wrapping up RA selection. This is only our first year of having residents on campus. We opened our first residence halls in August. So this is our first, well, this is our second go round of actually going through a recruiting process for RAs. Last year, when I moved here in February, it was like, okay, we're building a building. It's opening in August. We need RAs. So I'm like, I don't know any students. And we kind of just took referrals and built a team that way. But now, after having residents on campus and having a pool, we're going through wrapping up that process of RA selection. So it's new to the campus. It's a new leadership opportunity for students. They're excited about it. We're excited about it. But the problem is for our campus is that we're small, and you see the same couple of faces in all the student leadership roles. Mm-hmm. And so as someone who was that overly involved student in college and did everything, I learned, like, I really couldn't enjoy my full college experience because I always was doing something related to student organizations or leadership. So that social aspect was missing a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so now when we just selected the RAs, and half of them are not those students who are involved in every single thing, they don't understand it because it's the first time that they maybe have been told no, or that they haven't gotten something, you know? So mm-hmm. it's maybe their first, to them, it's a failure because they didn't get it, but it's not that at all. It's going to be a good development opportunity and having conversations around, you know, no, it's just that you're involved in everything. Everybody needs an opportunity to mm-hmm. showcase some leadership. So we're just going with those students who haven't had the opportunity yet. So mm-hmm. it's nothing that you did necessarily wrong. It's just, you know, you are involved and other folks need opportunities too. So that's what's happening on our campus right now. And because we're so small, that's like the talk of like, oh, did you hear this person didn't get it, but this person did. And so trying to have the conversations around like for those who were hired to start their development now and early, but also to put the position on like this high pedestal of like, oh, you want to be an RA? You need to have a great GPA. You need to demonstrate service to the community. You need to be connected on campus. So we're trying to really set the position up to be a highly sought after position in the future. And I think this helps when folks see that the top leaders who they see doing everything on campus didn't get it, that's not all it takes. So it's good. It's good PR, but it's bad PR at the same time.
Yeah. How big is your student body?
Yeah.
We have about 3,500 students on campus who live on campus. We're about right at 120.
Wow.
Like 120 students live on campus?
Yeah, 120 students live on campus right now in our first residence hall. Phase 2 will be opening next fall. We'll add another 265 beds.
Wow.
Wow, that's a really interestingly small percentage of students that live on campus.
Yeah, we actually are also, you know, the traditional 18 to 21-year-old demographics is our lowest demographic. So we have a lot of non-traditional age students. When I say non-traditional, I'm saying like 25 and up. But with the addition of campus housing, that 18 to 21 right out of high school group, that is increasingly growing. So by fall 2020, we'll be at over 5,000 students. That's the goal. We'll be at over 5,000 students. And just based off projections now in terms of enrollment going up every year and where we anticipate being. So we're just definitely going to keep growing. But campus housing is a priority.
We did it.
And we'll continuing to add beds on campus.
That's awesome.
That's great. I mean, our enrollment's grown like that too. So I totally know how you feel. We're building a residence hall right now. It'll hold 600, I think. It's pretty big. Wow.
Yeah.
We call it Tall Hall because it's 13 stories.
Tall Hall.
Until someone's really awesome and gives, you know, a few million dollars and gets their name on it. For right now, it's Tall Hall.
Tall Hall.
I like it.
Pretty cool name.
Man, that's really interesting. So this is your second time dealing with recruiting RAs?
Yeah, this is our second time recruiting RAs, but our first real process. Like we last year, it was just like, yo, this person would make a good RA. Let's set up some interview. Let's do a small group process because I didn't know any of the students. And when I got to this campus in Dallas, it was just me. The job posting, I was hired to be an assistant director of residence life. And so my interpretation of that is like, okay, that's the residence life side. Now you all have another housing side. And they were like, oh, no, we don't have any of that. I'm like, so who's responsible for assignments and billing? And they're like, it's all you. And so when I learned that, I looked at it as an opportunity to maybe set myself up in the future. So I went through a reclassification. I wrote up a job description. I told the university other pieces. I told them that residence life is just one side of the picture. Mm-hmm. So now we are the Office of Residence Life, Housing, and Conference Services. Been able to advocate for more funds to hire members in the housing staff and residence life staff. So we're growing professionally in that regard. Because, you know, we can say titles don't really mean anything in student affairs, higher education, which they don't technically, because you're doing the work of five people in one position. But the reality is that when it comes to a job search and you have something on your resume, you can list every single little thing that you did, but the title, it speaks a little bit. And so that's what I believe in too, in terms of my staff. I believe in setting them up in terms of you can do this, 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 this. But when it comes to a job search and where you want to be professionally, the title, it carries some weight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just work through those things about any experience that they want to do. That's what we try to set them up to do, because I was able to do that when I came in and I saw that the housing side was missing. I knew assignments and billing is not something that I necessarily had a great experience in, but I wanted to learn it, so I learned it. And so I believe in giving staff those opportunities to create experiences that they want, and for them to call themselves what they want to mm-hmm. for their future searches. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's really great. It's really nice to hear that you're being to have such a supportive supervisor is so important. You know, talking about like your professional development and what it looks like on a resume, and you're right, like, you know, titles really do hold weight. I look at a lot of divisions that sometimes everybody's an associate director, and it's like, you know, are you really an associate director? Because if everybody's an associate director, then who really is in charge?
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
So how many staff members do you have?
So right now, I have two hall coordinators and one housing services coordinator who's responsible for our desk operations. So three full-time staff members now. Next fall, we will add on a business manager and a conference services manager. And we'll do a reclassification of one of our hall coordinators now to an assistant director role.
Awesome. You guys are just growing.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, we're growing. And the thing is, so another thing is that, which it's a good position to be in. I will say that, and I'm getting to do a lot of stuff. We recently acquired campus dining also. So now we're going through the RFP process, and we're getting bids from companies. And then so we'll also have to hire a dining services manager to be the liaison between campus dining, whichever company we go with, and the university. So it's a good position to be in, because we have opportunity to create a culture. And right now, everything, it doesn't matter what we work on, my greatest expectation is that we always provide the highest level of customer service. Right. And not to treat our roles like a business, but we do serve the students and parents. Mm-hmm. And so we always greet students by their first name, say hello, ask them how they're doing. People call the office, always follow up with anything that we can do more for you. We always send out office visit surveys, or if we had a meeting, like a survey to evaluate how that meeting went, to see where we can be sharper in terms of the service we provide. That's mm-hmm. important. But with dining, it's great, because you know, we get to say, you can say, this is what we absolutely need. It's like starting all over. So we need vegan meal options for every meal of the day. We need, you know, non-cage-free eggs. We need, mm-hmm. you know, quality, appealing food service. So it's good, but at the same time, it's like, oh, something else added to the plate. Okay.
Yeah. Literally.
It's pretty impressive. I think it's really incredibly impressive, because it really sounds like you have gotten a chance to build on-campus living from the ground up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you don't get to do that very much anywhere. Yeah. Most places are pretty established as far as res life and dining services and, you know, even conference services and all that kind of stuff. And it sounds like you've been there since the day one.
Yeah. So it definitely is a good opportunity. I got to give a shout out to Santa Clara University in Santa Clara, California. I worked there for 3 years in their residence life department. It's a school on the West Coast. Campus is surrounded with beautiful palm trees and landscape and architecture. I have worked at several schools, mostly private, well, all private, except for now one public. But Santa Clara University. I consider Santa Clara the four seasons of housing and residence life programs. So I'm grateful for what I learned there and immediately being able to come to a small growing school and mm-hmm. apply some of those skills and lessons to build our programs to a fraction of what Santa Clara's program is. So that has been my kind of like guide and tool, you know, like, okay, of all the schools I worked at, this has been the most beautiful campus. So how can I build up this program to get to that 5-star level? And so I've been able to constantly reach out to my colleagues there and ask for resources and ask for best practices and bounce ideas off of them because it truly is a beautiful campus and the residential education experience is beautiful. And so I had to give a shout out to Santa Clara publicly for their human capital there and their resources and for always taking my calls when I call and need something.
That's great. We're all about the shout out and showing some love on this show. So
also shout out to Dr. John Buck at Webster University in St. Louis, Missouri. When I first went to college, I wasn't going to go to college at first because I was my father had just passed away, I think right before high school. So I got a part-time job rolling newspapers and I was making 10 cents a paper. And freshman year, you know, what mm-hmm. is that, 15?
Yeah.
You know, 10 cents a paper. I was like, I'm doing it. I'm making good money.
this is what working is.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'll go to college. I got accepted in Webster University and John Buck was the first person who I met. He is the Dean of Students at Webster University now, Associate Vice President and Dean of Students at Webster University. Mm-hmm. And he was the first person that I met that kind of took me under his wing all the way from first day of freshman year, even until now. And so he kind of showed me a lot about the field and inspired me to stay in the field and show me that, you know, this is a job. Because when you're mm-hmm. first year in college, you see people working at the university, but you're like, that's not their, it's not a job.
That's not a regular job.
You know, yep. It's a regular job. But yep. then you get more involved and you see like, oh, it's a job. Like, it's mm-hmm. the career.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to John Bowles.
I had that same experience my senior year. I didn't realize that like working at a university was a job. Like you forget sometimes like, oh,
yeah,
like you could do this. That's so great. It's so great. We've had a couple of guests that have shared folks that have really influenced their career path in higher ed. So it's really cool to give them some love and we appreciate them.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Well, I think that's a really good note to end on, Logan? That feels good to me. We end on such happy notes normally.
Well, that's good.
Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was a good time. It was a good conversation.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start watching some WWE so that I can join the click.
All right. Monday nights, it's on.
Okay.
What time zone are you?
I'm in Eastern time.
Alright, so it's about, you got about an hour left. It's on USA right now.
Okay, I'm gonna flip it on right now.
But it comes on Monday night, so it'll be 8:00 your time, every Monday and Tuesday night.
Well, see, the problem though, Monday nights, it's not on right now, but Monday night is Bachelor night, so I'm gonna have to try to figure out all my live TV watching at this point.
Gotcha.
Yeah, these fancy things called DVRs.
Fair enough.
That is true.
Well, listeners, head down to highered.social and get links to the stuff we talked about today and subscribe to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Send us a tweet. We love hearing from you. And don't forget to let us know if you want to be on the show. Higher Ed Social is produced by Emma Hawes and is part of the Connect EDU Network, the first podcast network for higher education. Visit our website, connectedu.network, and subscribe to some awesome shows no matter where you work on campus. Have a great week.